The Holy Gospel according to John, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So here we are on Reformation Sunday. We have waited 500 years for this anniversary commemoration of Luther posting his 95 theses or issues on the door of the Wittenberg Castle Church. Our sanctuary is adorned in red. Many of us are wearing red. Red to represent the continuing work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We've passed out the flat Luthers, and I hope the pictures start to come in. I brought my Playmobil Marty with me and my bobblehead Luther. We have a Martin and Katie photo booth set up, and you sure don't want to miss that. We've read the traditional Reformation texts that we read every single year. We sang the Reformation fight song, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." Why do we do this every year? Is it to hold up Martin Luther as a super reformer? Not really. Luther absolutely gave the church insight into especially God's free gift of grace. But today we don't celebrate the man Luther. Is this a celebration of Lutheranism? A time to quietly pat ourselves on the back, claiming that we have a better handle on this faith thing than the other denominations? Hardly. Or maybe it's our opportunity to take issue with the medieval church. No. We are closer today in our understanding and our alignment of today's Catholic Church than we have ever been. There's really only one reason that we celebrate Reformation Day each year, and it's to remind us what God does for us and how much God loves us. And a good place to start in that reflection is with Luther. Luther had a fierce and a troubled conscience. He agonized over God, who he perceived to be a wrathful judge. He thought God expected him to follow the law perfectly and to be sinless. And Luther couldn't do this. He couldn't be perfect. And he worried that he could never satisfy God. So he worried and worried and worried about his relationship with God. He worried about his salvation, and he feared God would punish him. But what was most troubling for Luther was that he didn't know how to fix the relationship with God. To quote Luther, "I hoped I might find peace of conscience with fasts, prayer, in the vigils with which I miserably afflicted my body. But the more I sweated it out like this, the less peace and tranquility I knew." He didn't know what else he could do. No matter what he did, he never felt good enough to be in a right relationship with God. And that turned out to be the breakthrough for Luther. There was nothing that he could do. And it was the text from Romans that we just read which initially caused Luther so much despair and utter spiritual doubt. He pored over this text. And he found it harming to himself. But the more he prayed over it, the more he agonized over it, the more he realized that the text is actually about what God does for us, not what we must do for God. And it says, "For we hold that a person is justified by grace through faith, apart from works." That's the heart of the text, and it became Luther's teaching, and it remains ours today. It's the text we use every single year when we celebrate the Reformation. It's the heart of what we believe. Justification by grace through faith is not just one doctrine among many doctrines. It is the foundation upon which everything stands. But it's not an easy text. The book of Romans is filled with challenging language. St. Paul didn't make it easy for Luther, and it isn't easy for us either. Sometimes when I teach confirmation, I have the kids list out all of the challenging words and phrases in a biblical text. And that text we just read from Romans today is filled with righteousness, justification, redemption, sin, sacrifice of atonement, grace, works, law, remission, forbearance. And if we use the King James version of the text, we even get to throw in the word propitiation, which means appeasing God. That's a great word to impress your friends and neighbors if you need one. Despite the theologically dense and syntactically awkward language, Lutheran theologian Paul Tillich claims that we really only need to focus on two words in that text. And they're two words that we hear all the time. They're two words that flow off our tongue much more easily than propitiation. And they were the two words that were key to unlocking Luther's anguish. And these two words are sin and grace. And they're not standalone words. We can't understand grace until we understand sin. Most of us define sin as doing the things God doesn't want us to do, doing things that hurt ourselves, our neighbors, and God. And in doing those things, we become separated from our neighbors and from God. Sin separates us. And St. Paul claims today that we are all sinners, all of us, both Jew and Gentile, rich and poor, educated and uneducated, those living in a house and those living on the street, those who attend church on Sundays and those who never darken the door. All of us are sinners. And we know this. And we know there's nothing that we can do to change this. When we begin worship each week, we often confess using these words. We confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. Note the words done and undone. Luther's small catechism states it so well when he explains the commandments. It's not enough that we don't literally kill our neighbors, but we are commanded to help and support our neighbors in all of life's needs. It's not enough that we don't gossip or destroy reputations of our neighbors, but we're commanded to defend them and interpret everything they do in the best possible light. All of our neighbors. Not only do I break God's command when I do something wrong, but I also break God's law when I don't do anything. So we're sinners. And no matter how hard we try, we can't perfectly follow God's law. We can't close that separation that sin has created between God and us. We can't restore our broken relationship with God. And we might know in our minds that we can't work or buy our way into a better relationship with God. But wow, we sure do try. In Luther's time, there was a formal way to remove guilt and sin and restore the relationship. They were given good works to perform, assigned good works to perform. They paid indulgences, prayed, read scripture, and they even went on crusades. Unless we think this no longer applies to us, in a 2016 issue of Living Lutheran magazine, ELCA Presiding Bishop Elizabeth Eaton suggested we ask ourselves and ask others what we need to do to be in a relationship with God. And she found over and over and over that good Lutherans respond with things like live a good life, obey the Ten Commandments, attend church, read the Bible, and serve the poor. By doing these things, are we too trying to earn our way into a relationship with God? Will God love me more or forgive more of my sins if I do these things? Careful. It's a really slippery slope. Has anyone ever told you, or have you ever been tempted to think that if you had just prayed a little bit more, the illness would have been reversed and your loved one would still be alive? Or if your faith had only been greater, your relationship would not have ended, the job would still be yours, and the addiction possibly gone? In low points, I've thought that. And I've also been told that by well-meaning Christians. And in a word, don't. We can't reach God. God comes to us. The only way to be in a right relationship with God is to accept the grace God so freely gives to us. And Luther's breakthrough was that receiving God's grace is not about us. It's not what we do. Our role is passive. We can only receive the grace as a gift. Grace. Paul Tillich's second word, a word so very connected with sin. Grace. Even though we are sinners, God gives us grace today. Not when we finally do something right, not at the end of our lives, but now. And God's grace and forgiveness doesn't stop. It's not only once, it's not stagnant. As I've said so many times before, God doesn't pass out grace with an eyedropper, one drop at a time. God instead uses a fire hose, abundant, overflowing, powerful, life-changing grace and forgiveness. And although grace is a free and unlimited gift from God, we can respond to this grace with the faith that God also gives us. Faith. That God knows us, God loves us, and God forgives us. Faith that God will be with us always, continually pouring out buckets and buckets and buckets of grace. But don't we still have to do that long list of good things? Pray, attend church, obey the Ten Commandments, love our neighbor, feed the hungry? Should we not still do those things? Yes. Yes. But we shouldn't do those things because we hope God will love us more. Or because we hope to guarantee that we'll get to heaven someday. Or because we fear the wrath of God. We do these things because of what God has done for us. God has given His Son to die for us. And when we receive and experience the grace of God, we can't help but do these things. Because God loves us, we can't help but care for others. These past 500 years have been a time of ongoing reformation. And sometimes we as individuals and as a faith community have lived out that grace so generously given to us. Loving God and loving our neighbor with fierce abandon. Sometimes, though, we have not. Sometimes we've lost our way. But always, always, by the grace of God, we have been freed from our sins to remain in relationship with God. And thanks be to God that God is with us, always reforming us, and always making us new. Amen.